compassion of Christ Jesus, who was faithful to them who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house is more honored than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Hebrews is an epistle of the supreme revelation of God, or the epistle that gives us the picture of a better revelation of God. And that when we go through this epistle, we can see that this epistle also shows us the heavenly ministry of Christ. And also this is an epistle of the new covenant. This epistle contains a lot of exhortations as well. And it gives us several warnings, severe warnings. And then when we come to chapter 11, we can see God's hall of fame. In chapter 3, when we come here, we can see a comparison is drawn by the writer of this epistle. We see a comparison between Moses and our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we see Christ is greater than the angels. And here in chapter 3, we see Christ is greater than Moses. And when we go further in chapter 4, we see that Christ is greater than the Old Testament priesthood. And in chapter 8, we see that the new covenant, which our Lord Jesus Christ has established, is better than the old covenant. See here, the first words we read, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. This is the only reference that we see in the scripture wherein our Lord Jesus Christ is addressed as apostle. Even though we can see his ministry in that respect in other portions, but this is the only reference where we see his title is given as apostle. And then another important thing is to see that he has got two titles here. He is an apostle, at the same time he is the high priest. And then the writer says we need to consider him. That means we need to fix our thoughts intently upon him. We need to look at him carefully. We need to think about him. We need to look at him. Because he is the source of all blessings, and he is the source, and he is the author of our faith, and everything that we have received through him and by him. Therefore, we are exhorted this morning that we need to consider him. That's what we've been doing. When we go through these verses, we can see the reasons why we should look at him carefully, or why we should pay attention to him carefully. Number one, believers are exhorted to consider him, or fix our attention closely on Jesus Christ because of who we are. There are two titles he given for us also here. What are they? Number one, holy brethren. And then we are partakers of the heavenly calling. See, we are holy brethren. We are holy. We have become holy. What was our state? We know that's what we've been remembering when we were participating from the bread and the wine. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And we were far away from him. But today we have become holy. Holy means set apart or separated for Christ, separated for the Redeemer. We have been purchased by paying a very heavy price. His precious blood, his body, he sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. Because of that, we have become holy today. Therefore, we need to pay attention. We should fix our attention upon them. We are separated people. We are separated for a task. We are not for our own sake. We are to dedicate our lives. We are to live for him. That's what the writer says. And then, we are also partakers of the heavenly calling. We have been called by Christ to live with God in heaven. That's our destiny. The life that we have here is for a limited period of time. But we have a destiny. We have an eternal life. God has blessed us with that eternal life through Christ Jesus. We are called to live with him in heaven. Therefore, we are to fix our eyes upon him. Number one, we are believers, we are holy brethren, we are partakers of heavenly calling. Therefore, we need to fix our attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the believers should fix their attention on Jesus Christ because who he is. Number one, we have seen who we are. Now we need to look at him to see who he is. That's what initially I was telling. We have seen two titles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, apostle, and number two, high priest. We know the word apostle means a person sent forth as an ambassador by a king or by a country for a special task, to represent that country or that person. The immediate representation of the country or the immediate representation of the person, the king or the ruler. So Lord Jesus Christ came into this world because God has sent him down into this world. So when he came here, he represented God to us. He revealed God to us. Therefore, his title is given here as Apostle. Apostle. Our confession, because we confess that Jesus Christ is the supreme apostle of our faith and our lives. He is the author of our faith. We confess that he is the one whom God sent from heaven to earth. He is an apostle. Therefore, we should look at him. Number two, he is our high priest. Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. We know that in the Old Testament, there were two people. Under the Old Covenant, we know that Moses held the office of the apostle, even though he was not called like that, but he was doing the job of an apostle. He was the God's ambassador to the people. And then we see Aaron. Aaron held the office of the high priest. He was man's representative before God. Moses represented God. Moses was the God's ambassador to the people. And Aaron was representing people before God. But when we come to the New Testament, we see Jesus holds both the offices. Jesus is the apostle, and he is the messenger and the ambassador of God. He possesses all authority and power of God's kingdom. And now he is our high priest also. He represented God to us, and now he is representing us in the heavenlies. He is holding two positions. What a blessed truth it is. This morning, when we gather together in his presence, this is something that should encourage us, continuously encourage us. Because we are blessed with the indwelling of the Spirit within us. Lord Jesus, in John's Gospel, we read that just before his death and departure, he encouraged his disciples, saying that, "Don't worry, I know that you are troubled because I'm going to go. But don't worry, it's good that I'm going to go. Because if I go, I'll send someone else. Father will send someone else. What's the speciality of that person who's going to come? That person will dwell within you. Now I am with you externally. I'm helping you externally. But the person who is going to come after me is going to dwell within you. And he will empower you from within." And now, not only that, the Spirit is within us now. And now, Lord Jesus is there for us. We have got, you know, double protection. Our high priest is there up in the heavens. And we have the indwelling Spirit. What a blessed state in which God has placed us. Let's praise God for the blessings that we have received. Now, when we go further down, we can see the comparison between Moses and Lord Jesus. When we read through the passage, we can see that there is only one thing that we can say common between them. That is the faithfulness. Jesus Christ was faithful, and Moses was also faithful. God appointed Moses for a very special task. We know that for Jews, Moses was the greatest leader of all, because he led the Israelites from Egypt to Canaan. And God used Moses to pass on his law to the Jewish people. And in all aspects, Moses was the greatest person that they can ever think of. We should also consider the background of this epistle. This epistle is written to the Jewish Christians, probably the second generation Jewish Christians, because they were on the verge of going back to their Jewish tradition and some of the Levitical priesthood and all those sacrifices and all that. So in order to encourage them, in order to warn them, here the writer is drawing a parallel between Christ and Moses. Moses is the greatest person that you can ever imagine. But I am here introducing a new person, another one, who is greatest of all. The comparison is just limited in one thing. What is that? We read in verse 2, "Who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house." In all his house. Moses was given a task. And Lord Jesus also got a task. He was sent here with a purpose, with a task, with a mission. He accomplished it. Moses also did it.
Moses is the person with whom God spoke face to face. We read that in Numbers. There was no other prophet had that privilege. They were all getting God's messages through visions and dreams. But Moses was fortunate enough, blessed enough to have direct communication, direct conversation with God. So here the writer is drawing a parallel between Moses and Christ Jesus and telling them that both of them were faithful. The comparison ends there. And when they go forward, we can see the greatness of our Lord Jesus again. We have seen that he is an apostle, he is holding two positions, two titles, two offices. Now, when we compare him with Moses, we can see his greatness further. In chapter 9, verse 4, we read, in verse 3, "For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Why, in as much as he who built the house is more honored than the house." So Moses was there in the house as a part of the house. Whereas here, our Lord Jesus is the builder of the house. He's the builder of the house. And then, in verse 5, "And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward." That's what we were reading. We were meditating upon Luke's Gospel chapter 25 during the worship service. Now Jesus was walking along with the disciples who were going to Emmaus. And there we can see that he says he was recalling the prophetical verses from Moses and from the other prophets and revealing the truth concerning him. And Moses was given a task to proclaim the message of the Messiah that he did. In John's Gospel, we read, On one occasion, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "If you had believed Moses, you would believe me, because he spoke about me." And here we see another comparison. Moses was a servant, and Lord Jesus is the builder of the house. And now, when we come to verse 5, "And Moses was indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward, but Christ as a son over his own house." He was not only the builder, he is not only the builder of the house, but that is his own house. As I said earlier, Moses was just a part of the house, but Jesus owns the house. As I mentioned earlier, this epistle is an epistle of exhortation. Here comes the first exhortation of this epistle in verse 6. The second part. "Whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." This is the first exhortation that we can see. There are five more exhortations that we can see in this epistle, and this is the first one. We are exhorted after having explained all these things vividly. Here comes the exhortation. You need to hold fast. You need to hold fast what? The confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. How can we do that? We can do that only if we focus our attention on Him. When we pay attention closely upon Lord Jesus, we will be able to see the greatness of his personality, the greatness of the work he has done, the greatness of the ministry that he is engaged in now, and the protection that we have, the promises that he has given to us. This is what is prompting us, this is what is encouraging us to go forward. Here the writer says, you need to hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope going to be ended. Here, let me ask you, which is his house? Which is his house? We are his house. We are his house. And he wants us to dedicate our lives unto him so that he can have absolute authority over all that we do and all that we are. See, when we go to the Old Testament, we can see the details of the Old Testament, the tabernacle, the way they have to build it. You know, God has given a lot of details, the materials that they were supposed to be using and all that. The other day, I was in London. I was, seeing the St. Paul's Cathedral. It's a magnificent structure, the way it was built. I was astonished to see. So if that is the case of an external building that was required during the Old Testament covenant, Old Testament period, my dear brethren, let me ask you, today, the writer of the epistle says, we are his house. We are his house. We need to keep it in such a way that he can have absolute authority over everything that we do. Salvation is free. For that we did not do anything. That is God's gift. But every blessing that we need to get afterwards will be conditional. If we don't cooperate, if we don't submit ourselves, if we don't hold fast, we will be losing the blessings. So here, the writer of Hebrews says that we need to hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope fell to the end. Tribulations and difficulties and unforeseen circumstances may come on our way. That's quite inevitable. No one can escape such things in our lives. But we have a person who is living for us, who is our high priest. He has done everything for us to get saved. He has done everything done for us to be the participants of the eternal life. But now he is up there doing his high priestly ministry. He is there to help us. He is there to see us. He is there to give us confidence. He is there to encourage us. We need to hold fast our confidence. What a blessed state that we are in. Let's praise God for this gracious gift that he has given to us through his Son and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. May we continue to hold on to him in the days to come so that we'll be able to fulfill his plan and purposes, his agenda in our lives, in a better way for his glory and for his kingdom. May his name be glorified. Amen.